You are listening to the In Her Flow podcast with Gina and Serena. We created this podcast to help you nurture and connect to your flow, whilst also reducing the stigma and shame surrounding periods.
Each week, we will share episodes that explore conversations with female health practitioners, industry expanders, and everyday women. We are so grateful that you're tuning in to today's episode.
Today we're here with our beautiful friend Sammy Flu, who is a mindset and well-being coach, which is a big title. Can you tell us more about what you do?
Yes.
And what that entails?
Yes. So I started my business, The Core Health, probably about 6 years ago, and it's grown and evolved in so many ways. So I came out of high school with heightened anxiety, feelings of depression, really disconnected relationship with my food and my body, and just a bit all over the shop, really. And, you know, straight out of school, I went into events at TAFE, nothing down the health industry right away, but was always into cooking and looking after myself. But, you know, at that point, it became a really imbalanced process.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was modeling at that time and, you know, was trying to keep up with the perfections of staying in shape and, you know, pretty much an unachievable expectation every single day. Which led to just an extreme disconnected relationship with myself and my choices and my habits. And I ended up on a job in Byron. It was one of the last ones I ever did. And I ended up in staying with a whole food chef, and we were cooking that night and we made just simple rice paper rolls. And she did this spread of just this rainbow veggies, and, you know, we made them exactly. And it was just, you know, utilizing the senses and, you know, actually looking at the ingredients, tasting them, you know, putting the effort into it bit by bit, which I did with my cooking so much, but actually being around other people and having to be in an environment where I couldn't control everything and, you know, was a bit out of my comfort zone. And for the first time, actually felt content and there was no fear. And, you know, I came home and just started cooking and creating and just having this whole new, pretty much available resource to look at food and sit with myself in a different way. So I went and did my nutrition certificate and my health coaching diploma through Nature Care. So, yeah, that was probably over 6 years ago now, which is a crazy thought.
Time literally flies.
Wow.
And
so much.
It feels like we all went to high school together.
Yeah.
And it feels like high school was not that long ago.
No. Yeah, it was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I think it's like eight now.
It'll be eight.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We're getting old.
Yeah. Literally.
We're going to get hate.
It's so funny. I feel like I was, came out of high school thinking I'm, an adult.
Yeah.
And, knew myself. And then now, again, at 25, it's like, whoa, you know nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's starting crazy. From scratch.
It was good. But, yeah, and then, so like many of us did, you know, figuring out finding your feet in your 20s is a huge experience. And, you know, as we all said, we went to school together, we all partied together, we all had lots of fun together. And, you know, I look back and that was a really great time in my life.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't go down, have your drinks, go party, go do whatever until that need kind of shifted.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I ended up, you know, doing my study there, and then I actually moved up to Byron to do 6 months of plant-based whole food catering course, course. So it was 6 months of really for myself at that point. It was, you know, learning to connect with my food and all of those different things, but you learn every single aspect of catering for dietary needs, catering for moods. You know, the lady that run it, her name's Veet Karen, she's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And she was a huge support in my life at that point.
Yeah, and then a massive influence too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I came home and, you know, at that point I'd started my Insta and, you know, showing all my recipes and little mindful tasks and all the little things like that. And I came home and then did my mindfulness meditation course, which with a lady called Julie Gunluck.
Yeah.
So she was actually my psychologist through high school, and she was just the most beautiful woman, you know, very holistic approach.
Yeah.
Was all about, you know, utilizing your own skill set and using mindfulness as that key tool. So again, thank her very much for all of those things too. But, you know, I started sharing all these tools and, you know, sharing a lot of my own experiences, and just had so many, you know, people our own age and even, you know, a couple of my mum's friends or just random people that were following me saying, oh, that's me, you know, I feel really disconnected to my body, you know, I'm really depriving myself, I'm, you know, addicted to exercising, I don't know, in essence, how to slow down and just be with myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of came down to that. Did you guys ever resonate with anything like that?
100%. Like, yeah. I think especially in high school, there's so much focus on how you look and not how you feel. So you're like, you know, you're depriving yourself of nutrients, you're going to the gym. There's like this expectation to be busy and to be doing things and have an exciting life. And I think slowing down and actually feeling into your body was just something that was not even talked about. Like, none of our friends were really taking that approach.
No. And I think, like, as we've discussed this before, is that sense of balance, which is like, it's hard to achieve a balance, but I think people get so caught up in not just avoiding being unhealthy, but so caught up in being so healthy that it becomes this like addiction, and you start almost putting yourself down if you, I don't know, people say they like slipped off the rail or they ate one thing bad and then it like sends them spinning for the whole day.
Yeah.
And not even just food, but like exercise and like lifestyle and stuff. And I think even with like my clients and the work I do and like being a nutritionist, and I'm sure you do it with your clients as well, is you're not going to wake up every single day and do this perfectly and then do that perfectly and have a perfect meal and never drink alcohol and never have a late night and always get the perfect amount of sleep.
Yeah.
But it's finding that balance and like tuning into your body where you're like, okay, this feels like good in this moment, but like I know I can come back to like my roots of what feels good and not judging yourself for that.
100%. 100%.
Because if you just give yourself these strict rules and guidelines, like where is the joy?
Yeah.
Where's the joy going to be in your life?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And then everything comes down to control, which is literally, you know, why I started doing what I was doing, because, you know, at that point where I was, you know, severely underweight, you know, just not having a good relationship with myself, it's those simple little choices that you had to stay consistent with every single day. And we'll talk about that later on. I'm now studying strategic psychotherapy and hypnotherapy. Yeah. And, you know, the things that you think of hypnotherapy isn't what it is, but we'll talk about that a bit later. But pretty much what I, over the past years, have supported mostly women with is to just, again, build that foundation for themselves to, you know, come back to what is true to them, but also where they are now and where they want to be.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times we're trying to, you know, fix the future, fix the past, do those things instead of actually meeting ourselves back here in the moment.
Yeah.
And that's something you have to stay consistent with. You know, no one else can do for you what you need to do for yourself. And the past 2 years, I've been really lucky to work under a lady in the clinic I now work in, Amre Zafri, and she's just, she's a weapon. She's
other people.
You know, I went to go see her myself, and you know, I'd been running my business for nearly 3 years, and you know, on paper everything looked great, you know, I was, you know, doing quote unquote really well, but you know, my social life was out of whack, you know, the balance in other ways was just so not there. And you know, at that point, you know, that was potentially something, you know, that filled my cup. It was that next thing of saying, wow, you know, I can do so good with this, until again, like life, everything changes and then you reset. And I think that's something that I really talk to a lot of people about is, you know, we try to stay put when we're when we're meant to change. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the biggest inhibitors to us feeling, you know, anxiety or, you know, depression or all those things is, you know, staying in something you've outgrown, you know, doing something that no longer feels right or, you know, as AM says as well, out of obligation, expectation or fear.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we consciously look at things, we begin to see, you know, how much we're doing out of fear, whether, you know, we know it or not. The pleasing, the proving, the comparison, all of those things. And it's such a beautiful thing that we're going to talk about today. And is, in essence, it's what I do is that, you know, that practical approach to mental health to, you know, maintain yourself in a way that makes you you while all the world continues to turn around you, but you still know what feels right for you. That's what's so difficult sometimes with social media, because you see all these things and we have all these attachments that we're so used to reacting to what's around us, and then we match our choices with that. But it's saying, okay, that's right for me, that person's doing whatever, you know, that's going on out there. All I can control is myself, my response to any experience that comes my way, and my response to my own emotions. That is literally all we can be responsible for. We try to be responsible for everyone else's feelings, try to make people like us, try to do that, and you actually can't. And it's a bloody exhausting process, you know.
Highly overwhelmed.
Overwhelming.
I think we've both been...
disappointing as well.
Gina and I have both been in situations where... like, I know for me, a lot of the time, I would take on people's shit. And I would be like, this is my, I would take it on as my problem to fix. And it was like, when I set that boundary, and like, we'll get into how people can set those boundaries. But once I sort of started setting those boundaries, I had so much more respect for myself. And I feel like other people respected me more. And it, you have so much more like energy as well, because I think at the end of the day, we are solely responsible for ourselves. And like, yes, you can have friends and family and like coaches and practitioners that can like be a guide for you. But at the end of the day, you need to walk, like you need to, you need to do it.
100% I think for like a long time, I kind of like almost took on, like an identity of like being that person that's like always there for their friends, for their family. It's like, you know, you're always available for a chat if they need to. And I stopped kind of doing that about 2 years ago. And I noticed like, wow, like I have so much time to actually focus on what I want to create. And like, it can be disappointing at times because you're like, your relationships change, whether that's in a good way or a bad way, or they just kind of dissipate. But you actually just put all of that back into your own cup. And you start noticing the own kind of self-sabotaging things that you do and not just focusing on other people's problems, which can be so distracting to your own growth. Yeah, that was huge realization for me.
And I know when we went to organize this conversation, we all went and got coffee and we were cacking that we should have recorded it.
It was so many things to chat.
But it's pretty much what we're speaking about now. But, you know, it, when we were kind of chatting, what, you know, what I wanted to bring to the table as well is one of the biggest things that I see myself teaching, you know, clients or guiding them with is actually how to communicate. Mostly their emotional space, you know, especially being there myself. Any denied emotion, or, you know, I wrote about this a couple of weeks ago. I said, when you fake it, you feel it. You know, and it's a, we carry so much of these things around, Jenna, what you were saying, in that identity or living that role. It's like keeping up with an expectation of, you know, this is who I am, but what am I doing then? I'm ignoring how I'm really feeling. I'm not communicating what actually feels right, which means I'm really accepting a lot of what doesn't actually make me feel good. But, you know, we think sometimes communicating how we feel will hurt people, but it won't. It's how you communicate it. And, you know, so when you kind of get to that crux of saying, you know, what we were talking about before, and this is, again, something I've learned a lot from Anne-Marie, is all you can ever be is responsible for you. And codependence in relationships is a huge issue because what that is saying, I feel this, I'll fill that spot for you. So you won't be able to learn to do it for yourself.
Yeah.
And that's a really big thing when, you know, stepping out of, you know, living with your parents or doing those things, it can be a huge culture shock, I mean, or a reality shock.
Yeah, like yeah, for sure.
And when I moved out, I was like, oh, God, life's so expensive. Like, yeah, why did I do this? Why didn't they teach this in school?
Yeah.
But you learn, you know, and especially with what I'm learning now, it's getting you back to those resources and understanding what you do have. You know, even, you know, if you run an anxious tendency, you still have epic resources. You're just using it in the wrong way,
totally, or
with the wrong intention. And where it comes from, it's saying, hey, okay, you can focus on something and bring it to life. How good is that?
Yeah.
You
know,
what if you focus on what you actually want over what you don't?
Totally.
So a lot of us are unconsciously fixating on the issue instead of the solution.
Yeah.
So especially with mindfulness, it's disassociating yourself with the problem or the emotion itself that you create a meaning or an attachment around and associating with the breath.
Yeah.
You know, or with where you are now. So when you come back to that over time, you know, consciously, we all do things and we go, oh, why did I do that? That was weird. Wow, I wanted to please that person. Oh, I did that, you know. But it's not until you, you know, you actually do that and you react that you learn. But we're so quick to be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. That's bad, you know. So it's actually having that process to observe yourself in the world. Look at the part that you play in your experience. And when you look at that part, it's so much clearer on how to change it.
Yeah.
You know, so what it comes back to, and I'm learning about this in hypno as well, it's coming back to, you know, no one can actually control you to do anything. People can manipulate, people can influence, but you actually still have to choose it.
Yeah.
So when you're running a habit, even if it's, you know, even if it's an anxious pattern or if it's, you know, a perfectionist tendency, you can put my hand up for that one.
Yeah, you know, I feel you.
Yeah, we all have it to some degree. It's not right or wrong. It's not good or bad, but it's just reframing that in a way that you want. So when it's coming back to that, you know, I'm consciously still choosing this. So I was writing about this other week, and this might sound, you know, a bit different, but, you know, anxiety doesn't run us. We run anxiety or overwhelm, you know, but consciously, you know, we know certain things that we have to do. And I'll do this with my clients. I'll say, you know, okay, well, how do you run anxiety? And they'll kind of look at me and be like, what? What do you mean? What exact things do you have to do to get into an anxious state?
Yeah.
I can look back for me. Okay, I have to please everyone. I have to give all my energy away. I prioritize everyone before myself.
Yeah.
I don't say how I feel. And there's a lot of information there. Oh, okay, that's what I do. What do I have to do to get into a content state?
Totally.
Oh, do what I love, you know, say healthy yes and no's, you know, prioritize what feels right for me. And that's going to be potentially different for everyone.
Yeah.
But this is where that self-responsibility is one of the best bloody things you can do for yourself. Because when you focus on your joy, there's a higher percentage within yourself or a higher, you know, motivation to overcome changes because you're focusing on what you can do over what you can't, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think it can be overwhelming. Like if you have, because I remember being in this situation and I was able to acknowledge and realize, okay, there's like a few things I need to change. I'm people pleasing. I'm doing all these things.
Yeah.
How do you kind of help your clients drop into that kind of first acknowledging it and then becoming aware without them getting so overwhelmed in like, because I think for me it was like, I have to change all these things, like this is wrong.
Yeah.
And when I look back in hindsight, it's taken me like 2 to 3 years to actually get to where I am. And I'm like, oh my God, wow, this is so beautiful. And I know it was like a slow and incremental change. But when you have someone come into the clinic and they're like up here, really that in their head.
Yeah.
How do you get them to like drop into their body and just like choose something small to work on?
So what I always reference, I always say, you know, when you first learn to ride a bike, how'd you go? Did you nail it the first time? No, you ate shit a lot of times. People laughed at you, you know?
Yeah.
There was that need for you to keep going and give it a go. So, you know, these are what we call our levels of ambiguity, right? So it's, you know, our ability to overcome changes or, you know, intense situations in our life. So if you look at different areas of your life, you know, I always reference for me, like surfing in this, because I love surfing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go out there, the waves are different every single time, you know, you have no control over it, and it's the best place because it's like, I have to dig deep, I have to get under this wave, but I'm going to fall off, I'm going to eat shit, I'm going to do all those things, but you have that capacity to be there. So anyone that usually comes in, what they look at is they're wanting to change overnight and they're not accepting that they're going to fail.
Yeah.
So what I say in that, I'm like, there's actually no such thing as failure in here. You are learning.
Yeah.
And this is what we look at. And Serena, that's what you were saying. You know, it's taken me 2 or 3 years to get here. It takes time.
Totally.
Because what you have to see is all the things that you don't clearly see now that's blocked with, you know, the control and all those things of wanting it to be perfect. And I wrote about this 2 weeks ago saying, you know, perfect is what you make it. What is perfection?
Totally.
You know, it's non-achievable, and that's why there's so much pressure. That's why there's so much body image stuff, because we're trying to meet something that isn't actually us.
Yeah.
You know, so when people come in, the first thing that we do is learn to actually connect back to themselves. So if there's no awareness for change, that person's going to go nowhere.
Yeah.
So most people that come in are saying, okay, I'm aware that I'm doing this, but I don't know how to change it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're focusing on the future and having that fear projected from your past, limiting you from taking that next step.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I said, all you can ever focus on is that simple next step. You might react. You might get angry. You might get it wrong, but how good, because you learn for next time.
Yeah.
So there's just one really basic thing that, you know, obviously we unpack it a lot more and make it really specific to the person and, you know, understand, you know, their level of expectations, their level of ambiguity, presenting things. I don't look much into the childhood aspect, but look at certain things within that.
Yeah.
But like I said to you before, we focus on where they are now and where they want to be. So this is where that, you know, the little tools of mindfulness come in, because I'm saying, you know, you've got to look at those areas where you feel a bit heightened or you do go into reaction. So a lot of time we try to make change without actually asking ourselves what we want.
Yeah.
I think I should be doing this because that's what, you know, my family does or this, but it's saying, actually, best thing that I can learn to do is just come back to myself in that. So first session, all we do is that. When you feel heightened, first thing is to come back and breathe. So you guys won't be able to see me on this, but what I say is we put you on top of your pyramid.
Yeah.
If I'm coming second, I have work, I have my friends, I have family expectations, I have all of that. What am I doing? I'm editing how I feel. I'm changing who I am. I'm trying to meet expectations that aren't mine. So if I'm coming second, I'm coming last.
Totally.
Is that, does that make
sense? Totally.
Yeah. So again, I've got my hands under my chin in a pyramid type style. But if I'm here, all of my choices are an authentic extension of me.
Yeah.
So I'm more conscious than where I am. Are you going to be there every time? No. You know, but you're going to learn the difference from when you do that to when you don't.
Yeah.
So all we can ever do is learn from what we didn't do the day before. What can I do for myself today that I didn't yesterday?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to drink more water. I'm going to have a bit of time off my phone. I'm going to not force myself to do that. Maybe I'll just go for a walk today.
Yeah.
So when it's simple, it's achievable.
Yeah.
But we have to realize, you know, we're not simple beings.
No.
We are so freaking complex. And, you know, working in clinic and especially working under Emery and, you know, the people that come in that we see that just have all these incredible stories and, you know, they come in and just feel a little bit more them. They feel heard, they feel realized, but just realizing that they have a choice to choose differently or that their emotions are real.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest things that, you know, I know we're going to talk about this a bit later and, you know, understanding those yeses and nos and what feels right for you is over time, you know, when you're a child, you're so sensitive, you feel emotions so freely. You look at a child, they're having a tantrum, they're getting angry.
How which good. Is so amazing. They just like let it out and let they're just out. Like, rah, and then they're done.
It's not stored in there and comes back like 5 years later.
We just bury the shit out of that trauma.
That's why we're all, you know, confused because you feel something and over time, dependent, you know, potentially on your conditioning, and this is no judgment on anyone because everyone's just doing the best with what they know. You know, grandparents, people you meet, And that's why we were saying before, you know best for you.
Yeah.
Mm. But over time, it takes time to come back to that because you've got to find the areas where you're not backing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I feel like it's so tricky in this day and age because we do have social media and people are always, you know, presenting themselves in the best way possible and they're showing outcomes and achievements and stuff, and we don't actually see the process of them getting there. So we think it's like shouldn't be hard, it should be really easy to get there, and we are like afraid to fail and look silly and like try something that we're not good at and just like get through that uncomfortable stage where you're like, I know I'm shit, but like it's fun and I want to keep going and I don't care how I look.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it's like, oh, like I know I want to make this change, but getting there can be so difficult when you're so anxious about how people what people think of you.
Yeah. So and it's like, gets easier over time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when you just focus on it. It's just like what I do in this situation mean when you realize you actually can't control anyone else and they actually can't do that to you.
Yeah.
You feel more solid in you. But again, that looks at reacting to when you go and do those things. And you know, I wrote about this a couple of weeks ago as well. I said, you know, don't judge yourself when you react. Learn to observe what you do and how you act in response to them.
Yeah.
You know, reactions are reminders of compassion. So, you know, you can't figure everything out in a day. So it's just those little tools that you have to, again, respond to the experience when it comes, to express the emotion and give it the support it needs, and to just, again, pop yourself, you can't say this, pop yourself, you know, on top of your pyramid.
Love that.
And it's a really simple thing, and it was, you know, a really big thing that got me through a lot of, you know, changing my own patterns and my own self-awareness was like, okay, where am I? I wasn't hearing that.
Yeah.
You know, I was coming second. I was trying to do this and that's okay. Now I know better for next time.
Yeah.
How good, you know? Yeah.
I think as well using those little tools and as we'll get into like feeling into the yeses and the nos in your life, but using those tools helps you to build your intuition.
Yeah.
And to really feel like once you start actually acknowledging and recognizing and like just kind of paying attention to the little voice in your head that might be like, oh, maybe like I don't want to do that, or maybe like this isn't serving me. It helps you then to connect to your intuition, which I think is amazing, and then propels you into setting boundaries and all of that good stuff that really helps you to fill your cup first.
It's almost like like separating yourself from other people's expectations and like just being like, okay, I feel solid in this and I'm just going to express that to other people as well in like a, you know, a beautiful way. It doesn't have to be a hard no and, you know, you have to shut people out. It can just be like a gentle, hey, like I'm not feeling like this today. Let's do something else. I'm not really into going out anymore.
Yeah.
Or, you know, this activity that we used to do together, but I love you and we can still maintain a friendship in a different way.
Relationship. And I guess it's helping people, and I'm sure you did this a lot in your line of work, but helping people to feel comfortable in saying that. Like, how do you encourage your and it feeds into the yeses and the nos. How do you like encourage clients to set those boundaries when it is really scary? And I know that like I've set them with friends and when you first do it, you first maybe say that no, or you first kind of tune into that, oh, I'm not really feeling that, or like that's not really going to serve me. How do you encourage them to like take those steps into being like, it's scary, it's so scary.
Creating boundaries is so scary and feels so unnatural when you first do it. It's like, how do you get people past
fear
that
of rejection
that stage of feeling uncomfortable with it?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I have this conversation of, you know, quite frequently in session, and, you know, a lot of times it's like, oh, you know, I'm going to hurt that person, but are you going to hurt yourself more? You know, and it's like, if you're going, are you actually being an authentic friend by trying to make yourself feel something you don't. And then you're there not wanting to be there, and then it's just a cycle.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, when you consciously invest that time, and it takes, you know, time to understand that, that conversation with yourself is the most important thing. So a lot of times it's like, I just want to, you know, I feel a bit, you know, I've gone into fear, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to try fix and explain this where I can just say this.
Yeah.
So one thing that we do is just, first of all, for yourself, learning to name your own emotions. And I'm just like, I've been writing a lot lately, so I'm going to say this again. But it's just so interesting, and it's been really about, you know, what I'm writing about now is really what I'm seeing in client experience. And, you know, I'm not, Emery, if you're listening to this, you'll laugh. It's just like, enough with the fluff, you know, write what you're talking about and, you know, what you see. And, you know, one of the biggest inhibitors for us to understand how we feel is our ability to express and actually know what we're feeling. So if you've been, you know, in whatever environment, again, neither right or wrong, this is just an observation. If you've grown up and been told to not feel certain emotions or not express certain emotions, you're going to be really freaking confused on how you're actually feeling. Because you're indebted to pleasing people to feel a certain way. So when I do this, I feel better. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So what it comes back to, and it'll be like in session as well, oh, I'm coming in and I'm just, I wrote about this example saying, oh, I'm just tired. All right, well, what's making you tired? Underneath, there's usually hurt from an experience of accepting something you didn't actually want to accept. You know, emotional exhaustion from, you know, having an experience gone in your life and you've been prioritizing everyone before yourself.
Carrying the burden and the baggage
for
everyone else. It's a heavy load.
So honestly, learning to name your own feelings when that comes up, saying, okay, I'm actually angry. I'm aware that I'm feeling, you know, not, I'll contrast that, creating separation with it and saying, oh, no, that actually hurt me. No, oh, no, it's fine. No, that actually hurt a little bit. It's so important because the emotion, we've been conditioned to put feelings into right or wrong, good or bad, and I can't speak for everyone with that, but it is something I see nearly every day. And it's saying, no, you're human to feel this. You know, or when we look at overwhelm, again, we run a pattern to get into overwhelm, whether you consciously know or, you know, I hope this might give a different viewpoint on that because it's something that has really helped me and that, you know, constructively has helped clients as well. It's saying, okay, I'm aware I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed. What's actually underneath that? Okay, I can see I haven't been speaking that kindly to myself. I've had so much more on my list than I probably needed to. You know, I didn't say what I actually wanted to say with my partner, and now I'm repelling him when I go home, or her, or, you know, whoever you're with. You know, so you go under it, and there's actually a lot of information you can utilize. But that ability to, the ability to actually name your feeling is one of the most beautiful things that you can do. And this is where mindfulness really comes in handy. And it's a really great place to start is non-judgmental attention to present day experiences. So it's learning to observe them there, disassociate with the past meaning, usually the past projected emotion of fear with something, and just choose to see it where it is. Because half the time that feeling is just replaying because you're repelling to something you're not expressing. Okay, I'm actually feeling a bit hurt from that. All right. So when you get clear and responsible for your own feelings, that's all you can ever express. Someone can influence you to feel something. Someone can do that. But when you just simplify it and say, hey, like you said, you know, in referencing going out with friends and doing that, you know, it's not proving or pleasing, again, or doing from fear and, you know, expectation. And that was a big boundary, you know, that I'm going to add these, maybe we can put them to call the show notes.
Or Show notes.
And I get, you know, myself and Emery wrote a couple of these in clinic as well, and I put them on every single action plan I give my clients in the first session and get them to repeat them daily. Because what you focus on comes into your awareness. So if you're saying things that are, again, maintaining you on a physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional level, you're going to really see that play out in your life. So when that emotions are neither good or bad, right or wrong, they're signs and signals.
Yeah.
It's like a little hello. Exactly. So what's anxiety? Hey, you're doing something you don't want to be doing anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But how often do we push that away? So one thing that we begin to when we learn to just breathe and sit with it, you get really clear on how to support it differently.
Mm.
And does that mean you're not going to not feel those feelings? No, you're human. But you're going to see when you make certain choices, how they make you feel. So when you get really clear on reframing that to say, okay, what makes me different? What makes me and what I need is going to be very different to Serena. What she needs is going to be really different to either one of us.
Mm.
So, you know, that's one thing I really state is saying, you know, it's the acceptance of understanding the changes that I need to make. One, no one else can do them for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to be completely different to every single person that you meet.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally.
I completely resonate with that. And I think especially the fact that, you know, I think as women we do reject certain emotions or like I guess everyone rejects certain emotions, and for women I think it's more like angry, being too emotional and those kind of things. And then I think those feelings, they just kind of fester in you and they exhaust you because you're not acknowledging them. And then they come out in passive aggressive ways. They come out in
bitchiness,
like talking about someone behind their back, all of these things where anger can actually be expressed in such a healthy way.
100%.
It can, like, it doesn't have to be directed at anyone. It can be going for a run, like throwing a pillow, like just screaming. And after that, it usually just dissipates and goes away so quickly.
Yeah.
But it's like we're so scared of that feeling because, I don't know, I think there's such bad stereotypes of like the angry feminine and like, you know, being a nice girl and being, you know, people pleaser and all of those things
being
and
a
anger.
Good girl.
You know, like all of those stereotypes that you're supposed to be, and anger just doesn't fit in there. Mm. So it's like it's, it just constrains you and, if you don't let it out, and it's just, acknowledging that and, like, changing that from, like, a negative and rejected emotion to something that you're embodying actually just makes you a better person rather than, an angry bitch.
And, Gina, I also remember this was a couple of years ago, and maybe it was when you were starting to create your own boundaries, but I remember I think when we used to hang out, I used to be quite flaky. And I actually remember Gina would call me out on it and in the nicest and most beautiful, gentle way.
Yeah.
But you would just be like, you'd be like, hey, like when we were meant to hang out and then you said you couldn't anymore or for whatever had happened. And I would first of all, I'd be like, oh shit, like she's like, this is really confronting. Mm. I don't really have any friends that are like, don't do this, I don't like it.
Mm.
And you said it in such a gentle way. But I had so much respect for you and looked up to you so much more. And I was also like, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore because you have been able to effectively communicate with me that you didn't like it and it didn't feel good. And so I was able to moderate my behavior. And then I was also like my respect for you went through the roof because I was like, wow, she's really communicating what she wants and how she feels and how my behavior makes her feel.
Yeah.
And it like almost then gave me the courage to be able to be like, okay, I can do that with other friends and just be really open and honest. Cause I think a lot of the time you can be conditioned and raised to just be really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to just be really like accepting and giving and like, I know my mum always, and sorry, mum, if you're listening to this, but she's never been very good at saying no.
Yeah.
And, like, actually doing what she wants to do. She's such a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And I think I kind of grew up like that as well. I didn't want to ever,
rock
the boat or disturb the peace.
Because it's no.
But, you saying that to me, I remember really being like, oh, like, whoa, this is confronting. Yeah. But it was so good.
Yeah.
It like planted seeds. Girls.
It's so important. Sorry.
No, you keep going.
I just think like if you don't speak up, people just don't realize that they're doing something to upset you. Yeah. And they don't want to upset you. You know, your friends, they want the best for you. But if they don't know something, they're not going to adjust their behavior.
Exactly.
And yeah, it's like you know, by whatever you kind of allow, that's how you're going to be treated and nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
Unless you communicate.
Yeah, exactly. And again, we're not all mind readers, but you might sense it. You might feel that someone's off you. You might feel that. And it's just naming it again.
Yeah.
It's looking at those things and saying, you know, is this, I've been feeling this. Is that right? You know, or it can be a really hard thing to, you know, say that to someone, but what you're saying is, you know, our relationship is important to me and this is important for me to say this.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you start in that way with that, again, you can't blame someone for making you, you know, you do something that you're not doing for yourself, you know, and that's one thing where sometimes we need to put on the pants and just, you know, and do it because you end up knocking yourself over the head, you know, trying to fake something that you really do feel. And, you know, a lot of times I use this example with clients and, you know, it's coming down to that, you know, it's really important for me to say this because what I've learned is when I don't say that, I sometimes feel resentful or I see that I've been feeling, you know, hurt by not expressing certain things. So it's actually really important for me to say that. And I know that might not be your intention, you know, so it's not giving you power away, not doing anything like that, but it's just getting really clear on, again, being responsible for you. And it's a healthy way of communication because as soon as you say, you know, you've done this and you're still acknowledging what the person's been doing to a certain degree, but when, you know, there's that element of communication saying, you've done this, you did that, what do we do? The wall goes up, push it away.
Your armor comes on.
Actually, that was a really beautiful example to bring in because it's like, you know, at the end of the day, it's worth to carry it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like what you're saying. It's, you know, every emotion is energy. So if that has nowhere to go, where's it staying? In your bot.
Down there.
Which is exhausting.
Yeah. And like, I think doing kinesiology for the last year, you realize how much shit you carry within yourself.
That as a 25-year-old woman, you're not even like 50, you haven't even been through.
Literally.
Body divorce or having kids or like
nothing too serious. But it's like, yeah, like anything that you didn't communicate, you haven't probably like processed and let go of, it's going to have a ripple effect on your life and you're going to be reactive and you'll be like, whoa, like, yeah, that pissed me off, but maybe not as like my reaction was just way more amplified than what I thought it was because of that chain reaction in your body. And I think that's the biggest gift we can give to ourselves, just actually being honest in that moment and expressing and letting that go before it becomes a pattern.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's where that, you know, we'll do that towards the end. I'm going to record something for you guys to process with that to add on to this. And, you know, honestly, when you learn to understand and actually back your feeling as true, because a lot of times, again, we feel that, but, oh, no, I shouldn't feel angry or I shouldn't feel this, but saying, no, I actually am, but it's all right, you know, I'm just going to express it in this way. So, you know, it's what you do with it and the meaning you create around it. So it's giving that emotion a different meaning in your life.
Yeah.
You know, I've had something that has made me feel this way. That's normal. People come into clinic who've had, you know, just experiences, you know, you wouldn't see on your everyday and, you know, they're just pushing through and doing all that. And there's no right or wrong way to feel. And I can't say that for anyone else, but, you know, just having that acknowledgement of, you know, what I'm going to actually reference my nan in this, she won't mind me sharing this. Mm-hmm. She actually came in filling out a form for a session she was having in the three questions were, you know, what are the biggest significant things in your life that has brought you, you know, the most stress? And she looked at me and she goes, oh, like, what do I write here? Oh. And I was like, well, you know, your house got bombed when you were in it when you were a child. You had cancer last year. You just had spinal surgery. You know, you had a pretty horrific relationship with your dad growing up, like all of these things. And she just looked at me and was like, oh, they're pretty bad, aren't they? And Chelsea, who I work with, we just looked at each other and started cacking. But, you know, there's just that level of resilience to a certain degree where you just block it. And, you know, she's the most beautiful soul ever. But, you know, she's carried so much fear in her life, and just having that acknowledged by someone, you know, she felt clear in her head.
Yeah.
She was like, you know, so it's just having that, you know, emotional expression of what you felt was true. You know, they were some pretty hectic things that made you feel true feelings of hurt and, you know, fear and all of that. But, you know, when you suppress it and try to make an emotion what it's not, it's really hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard to find your feet with that. So, you know, naming it and just, you know, giving it a really healthy expression.
Yeah.
So this is one thing, just wrapping this whole, you know, question around. When you're feeling this, it's coming back to the breath, you know, using that four inhale, exhale. So, you know, breathing in for four, holding for two, and out for four. And
you already feel, you just feel it in your whole body. Yeah.
Total shift. You're in here. And then it's asking yourself, and this is one thing that I do, I've done it since day dot, especially with myself, is, you know, Sam, is your next step going to nourish you or deplete you? And this isn't about overanalyzing what you're doing. It's just observing it.
Yeah.
All right. So potentially in this situation, I'd compare my example, I'd compare myself, I'd do X, Y, and Z. Or is my next just step to just breathe again?
Yeah.
Or was it to just pop my phone down and make myself a cup of tea?
Yeah.
You know, so I know those sound like really simple examples, but when you set that base, and that's why that connection to self first, when you're in those heightened experiences, we rarely, when we're in reaction, there's no space.
Yeah.
When you connect to you, you create the space, and then there's more room for you to respond and shift your response to the reaction. And that can be the emotion itself.
No, I completely agree. I guess for someone who's quite like, you know, like you probably work with a lot of people who are quite anxious, them actually being able to pinpoint their intuition, I can imagine would be quite hard, because their instant, you know, if they're doing something that's uncomfortable to them, their initial feeling would be discomfort and fear.
Flight.
So it's like, how do you actually move from that to being, to trusting your body again and trusting your body responses? And
yeah, it takes time, and being like a highly functional anxious person, you know, coming out of high school, you can hide it really well. And it might not present in the way that you assume, and, you know, people might not have any idea what you're going through, but you know, just having those tools and having, again, those boundaries for yourself, which are choices of self-respect, you know, in those situations. So I'll give you an example of that. When I was learning to, you know, reconnect with my food and go out and socialize, and, you know, it was an extremely triggering thing for me, because, you know, everyone would kind of question what you're eating or what are you doing or what's going on. But, you know, it's also coming down to that. The more I'm reacting to people around me, the less I'm trusting here.
Yeah.
So there's the acceptance that there's always going to be opinions. The world's always going to change around you. There's always going to be something that's going to pull you off balance, but there's always a choice to bring you back to it. So that's something that takes time. It takes consistency. It takes falling your ass 100 times and then learning how to get back up 10 times quicker. You know, so it's those things. And, you know, one of the biggest mishaps that we do is not thinking that we're not going to feel sad, or that it's not that it's going to be hard, but it's difficult sometimes, you know. You're feeling things you haven't felt before. And when you heal those things, all, you know, honestly, a lot of that emotions that you suppress and have tried to hold down have to come up.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might see things like, oh, I didn't know I was doing that before. Wow, I could really see that. Oh, my God, it was pleasing. But how good, you're seeing it now.
Yeah.
You're not blocking yourself out. So especially when you're a highly, you know, anxious person, again, it's having those things of saying, okay, I know when I do this, this gives me, you know, I feel a bit more anxious. So what is the bigger meaning of my choices? This is something that really helped me. So, you know, when you fixate on saying, okay, I have to fix this, I have to fix my anxiety. No, you have to just make different choices.
Yeah.
You have to choose you, not everyone else. not the opinions of everyone else, your own opinions. Mm-hmm. The only reason we're worried about what everyone else thinks is because we're worried about what we think of ourselves.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%.
So it's like, if I'm worrying about everyone here, where's all my power? Where's all my energy going to everyone else?
Yeah.
We wonder why we can't trust, because our whole reaction is to something external to ourselves. So I'm solid in me, and I always use this reference of saying, you know, if you're a power source, how many people have their power plugged into you right now?
Totally. Wow.
So that's,
you choose where that goes. So, you know, no one, and this is something that Emery's really, you know, first couple times I went to see her, you know, having those pleasing tendencies and, you know, being that nice person, it's just saying, all right, all welcome, everyone can take from me. You know, it's saying, you know, I don't take from others and I choose not to let others take from me unless I choose to give to them without resentment.
Yes.
What that is, it's saying, I'm solid in me. I am consciously choosing what I'm doing. And if I choose that, I can't feel resentful for it.
Totally. Mm.
So when you're, you know, learning to, in essence, about yourself and learning who you are in the world and all those things, coming back to that answer of looking at the bigger meaning of your choices. So when I was, you know, again, socializing, going with food and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I was so fixated on the food and, you know, getting that perfect instead of saying, hey, actually, I just want to sit here and be with my mates and have a good time.
Yeah.
I want to be able to, you know, have a drink and not fixate on those things.
Yeah.
So broadening this whole, you know, tunnel vision perspective to saying, what is it that I actually want?
Yeah.
But one of the biggest things that we see in clinic is, you know, that not acknowledging that point of difference.
Mm-hmm.
So we get really stuck in trying to, you know, be liked and, you know, be this person that we forget what actually makes us us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's being in those situations of saying, okay, yes, I'm an anxious person. You know, I have tendencies of anxiety. Mm-hmm. So this is what I need to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd go out for dinner with a couple of my guy mates, and they'd put like bowls of ice on the table and they'd be like, oh, here's your gluten-free vegan da-da-da. And you just can't help but laugh.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, everyone's going to have an opinion. Everyone's going to test you, but it's not about that. It's not about, you don't have to prove anything to anyone. All you've got to focus on, again, is that simple next step that you have to take for you.
Yeah.
And those boundaries aren't there to block you off from the world. It's not there to make life boring. It's to make it more joyful.
Yeah.
It's for you to be able to function and go and do the things that are available, realistic, and achievable for you. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our present judgments are based on our expectations. So this is one thing I do in session as well, is learn to set that bar at enough. Not more. What does that mean? This is enough for me today. You know, I'm going to have one drink tonight and then go home. I'm going to be doing my, you know, 3 mindful breaths before every meal. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was one thing, you know, when I'd go out, no one knew, but I was doing my 3 mindful breaths before I was eating my food. Why?
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't reactive. So I didn't go into a binging thing. So I wasn't, you know, not unconscious really.
Yeah.
So I could actually be there. So that over time, now I don't even do that, you know, because that's been like a 6-year process. And that, you know, part of my life has really, really shifted. But it comes down to just doing what's best for you. So wrapping that up, you know, the more you're focusing what another is doing, the less you're trusting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The more you're focusing on what I can do, what's available for me, and what I need, that's going to be, again, different to every single person that I'm sitting with.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you feel more solid in choosing what's best for you.
I really resonate with that. I've always been quite like nervous and anxious about public speaking.
Yeah.
And in this job for the last 6 months, I've had to do it quite regularly and do webinars and presentations and those kind of things. And at the start, I was like, all morning, I was like hot flushes, like just trying to cut, like do jumping jacks, like super silly stuff to like calm me down.
Yeah.
And like I had like an anchor of like, you know, like putting a pen into my into my knee and stuff just to like calm myself. And like, like not hectically, but like just an anchor to hold something.
Just kind of really stab my knee.
Just all of this behind the screen.
Yeah.
And now like the last last few sessions I've had, I have been able to just do it without even thinking about it for the lot, like until 10 minutes before. All I do is go to the bathroom. Like, I don't have to take deep breath. It's all fine, but it's just taken this, you know, like a few months to actually get there and be able to move past all of that discomfort.
Yeah.
And it really works to have that anchor, whether it's breath, whether it's like movement, whether it's like affirmations or something physical like a pen.
And these things do take time.
Yeah.
They totally take time.
They do. And then it feels good coming out the other end and you're like, well, like this was worth having the struggle and the discomfort and feeling like, you know, all of that fear leading up to it, and it does get better.
Yeah.
Which is really exciting.
I think as well, coming back to the, like, feeling into what you need and, like, if what you need, if your friends are going out for a night, is just to have one drink and that's going to nourish you and not... I love that you do the night, like, you think of it and, like, is this going to nourish or deplete me?
Mm.
And it's really beautiful language. It's not aggressive, like, this is bad or this is good.
Yeah.
But it makes you really... think about putting yourself first.
Yeah.
And in terms of your needs, I think when I see me and Jane are seeing the same kinesiologist who we absolutely love. And he made me become really aware of my pattern of thinking in shoulds.
Same. Yeah.
And I know when we caught up, we had this discussion as well, is you get so... like, I know for me, I can get so caught up in the shoulds and I should be doing this and I should be doing that, and also following other people's expectations of, oh, I should be doing this because they're doing that, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
But feeling back into what I actually need and what I want rather than what I, quote, unquote, should be doing is honestly transformational.
Yeah.
And it just helps you... totally feed into what sits in your body as like, oh yes, I want to do that, or oh no, I don't want to do that, rather than like, oh, it's a friend's birthday tonight, I should go out and get drunk with everyone even though it's going to completely deplete me. I'm going to hate myself tomorrow. I might not have the best time. And you have so much more respect for yourself, and I feel like other people have more respect for you for setting a boundary and setting a limit. And it also gives people, I think when you set that boundary with me of like, hey, don't flake on me, it then gave me permission to, it's like a knock-on effect. It then gave me permission to be like, oh, okay, like if she can set that boundary with me and it didn't completely make me feel like shit or like you didn't like me or anything like that, it gave me the ability to then do that with someone else.
There's no blame or shame, she'll just be honest.
Totally.
It's like managing expectations almost. But, yeah, I think with the shoulds, like a really big thing that helped me was be like, because there's stuff that you, you know, you need to do but you don't want to do. So actually just being like, okay, like what do I want to do? What's a big yes? But then what's a no, but what do I need to do to actually, you know, function in society? Obviously I need money. I need to do my job. I need to go shopping even though I feel like it. But it's being like, okay, like just eliminating all of that stuff in between that's actually not necessary.
This is one thing I do with my clients too, and you know, even for myself, and before we started recording this, we were talking about, you know, more responsibility in life and how those things are changing and how we're feeling a bit more adulty and adulty. Know, but it is, you know, back and my weeks are just so packed, just like with life stuff in general, you know, work, all those things. And you know, it looks at what are the exact things that I have to do each day to support me to do the things that I do each and every day. And, you know, people say, you know, how do you sit with clients? How do you do that? And I'm like, you know, again, this is something I've learned greatly from Anne-Marie is, you know, it's not actually my stuff. You're separate. You're there to support, but you're not there to take on.
You
know? And that's one thing as well, you know, especially I know we're talking about, you know, if you're the pleasing person, you tend to take on people's feelings. One of the best things that you can do for someone is to get them to think. So, you know, it's asking that, you know, we were saying before, even in reference to your mum and I, mum, if you're listening to this too, the first conversation I kind of, you know, we'd always kind of feel that space for each other. Oh, I can do this for you, you're fine, da, da, da. And it's just asking, you know, what is it that you actually need?
Yeah.
And she goes, what do you mean? What do I need? And I go, well, I just asked you, what do you need? So a lot of, again, grandparents and even our parents, they got taught to survive. You know, we have the amazing, you know, lives that we do to be able to thrive.
Yeah.
So we're really breaking that generational pattern of overgiving and learning to really give back to ourselves, which is a whole new thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, even referencing back to what you guys are saying, and again, this is something I've learned greatly in clinic as well, is all you can ever do is lead by example for you.
Yeah.
So even with what you were saying with Gina, she was just being accountable for herself. She was being responsible for herself. Yeah. And that's how you actually teach people.
Yeah.
Not by saying you should do this or, you know, I need you to do this to make me feel better, but, hey, this is actually important for me to say and this is how I'm feeling.
Mm.
And, you know, when someone gets vulnerable and, again, or does something different to you in a really beautiful way, it's really, it feels more achievable for the other person to feel safe in doing that too.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to that, all you can ever do is lead by example for yourself. And that out of anything since coming into clinic is one of the biggest things that I've learned, because what that is, it's saying, you know, all I am, like we've spoken about so much already before, is responsible for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you focus on that, you become so less responsible for all the stuff that isn't yours, and that's not a burden on anyone else. You don't become a bad friend. You don't become that. You become, you know, more connected because you're feeling more solid in you. And, you know, that's when you really feel more, again, solid in making choices that are a reflection of where you're at now.
Yeah.
Because, again, with changes, it's constant.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were talking about this earlier on, you know, it is a constant in life, you know. Something's going to come off, whether it's your hormones, whether it's the wind, whether it's, you know, a car crossing the street, but there's always a way to respond to it.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, we were just talking about this before, the response to that might be to have a cry.
Yeah.
You know, it might be to choose differently to what you did the day before. What you need now is very different to what you're going to need in a month or even 10 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's when you have that ability to just say, hey, okay, what is it that I need? What is it that I can do over what I can't? Not what John, Bob or Sally are doing or even, you know, my best mates are doing.
Yeah.
It's saying, what is real for me? What makes me me? What is it that I want in my life? What is it that I no longer do?
Yeah.
You know, and that's a really honest reflection that is a really important thing to do now and then as well, because we tend to focus on what, again, the shoulds of what we think we should do.
Yeah.
Just instead of saying, what is it that I actually want?
Totally.
And when you get clear on that, that might be letting go of a couple of things that has taken a lot of, you know, identity in your life, given you a lot of validation, but it doesn't mean you have to change everything.
Mm.
You know, I'm just going to change the meaning that it plays in my life.
Mm. Yeah.
So, again, all I can do is ever be responsible for me and lead by example for myself.
Totally.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think tying it back to the menstrual cycle for just a hot minute is definitely, like, as women we change from day to day, week to week, and really tuning into those phases of the cycle. And if you aren't aware of the four phases of the cycle, listen to episode one with the beautiful Melissa Vranjes. But yeah, like, knowing that, you know, when it's your period, it's okay to slow down and it's okay to rest and to really, like, take time for yourself and, like, come inward, versus, say, ovulation, where you have a lot more outward energy and you want to be more social, and kind of like penciling your month around where you are going to be at in your cycle. Because, I mean, I know for me, when I get my period, there's no way I want to go spend the whole weekend with friends doing loud outward things, being out for dinner. I want to be at home under my doona, eating really good food, watching TV, and just like being with myself and giving yourself the space to like choose to do that, regardless of what you think you should be doing or you shouldn't be doing, is so powerful. So powerful.
Yeah definitely. Then it comes back to not just like shoulds in life generally, but just like across the month and what you want to do and what you need to do changes rapidly. So just being a little bit more in alignment and like also preserving your energy when it's needed, and then you have that extra energy when you are feeling a bit more socially outward or energetic to do your high intensity, to do your, you know, go out and party if that's what you still want to do for every once in a while. But then making sure that you are nourishing yourself when you are going through your bleed or leading up to your bleed, and really, I guess, like sustaining that energy until you can really harness it.
Yeah.
Which is even coming to that, there was a task that I did during COVID, but it's a really important one that I actually bring into a lot of client sessions, and it really focuses on listening to your body.
Yeah.
So it's called Simplistic Choices for You. Mm. And obviously,
I like that.
Simple, very
simple. Yeah.
And you know, people love a list. I know I love a good list,
mm-hmm.
but this one is for you. And obviously during COVID, our sense of identity changed, our routines changed, and, you know, we began to see a lot of, you know, what our doing gave us, and that just got turned on its head.
Mm.
And I wrote this even for myself from, I work from home a lot, but that changed quite quickly. But even coming back to your body, it was all about tuning into what was available for you and your energy in that day.
Yeah.
And it was one choice for not exercise, but movement. How do I want to move my body today?
Mm.
And, you know, for me, I've been quite tired. I'm actually leading up to my period.
Mm.
So I've just been doing like 100 skips in the morning and walking down the end of the road. So I just wrote 100 skips and walked to the end of the road because that's what I felt was achievable. Whether I did that or not, that doesn't matter. But the actual effort of tuning in to see how you feel, what your energy level is, and still look after yourself and moving your body in that way is still really important.
Mm.
And then it was one, so movement, nourishment, stillness, self-care, connection, and creativity.
Yeah.
It might sound like a lot of things, but those are, you know, as we were talking about earlier on, the things that you have to do in your day to be able to do the things that you need to do.
Yeah.
So, again, that's going to be different every day. And like you said, at different phases of your cycle, you're going to have different energy. You know, there's going to be times where you might feel more creative, or, you know, feel like going for the run, or you want to be in bed and eat your chocky and do all that. So having that choice, having this task is a really beautiful one to do, you know, not every day, but sometimes when you're feeling a bit stuck or lack of motivation. But it's a really beautiful one, even when you're going through your cycle, to really respect your energy.
Yeah.
Not overexert, not overgive, but to have that, you know, that receive as well.
Mm.
So it's a really nice one to just say, okay, you know, my connection might not actually be seeing anyone, but, you know, I might just jump on a phone call, or my connection might just be with me today. You know, my stillness might be 3 breaths with every meal that I take today when I'm at work, you know. So it's adding these little tasks, and, you know, like you said, Serena, you know, when you add those consistent, simple tasks, they become your new habits.
Yeah.
So it's a really beneficial task that we can add into the show notes. So we've got a long show notes.
Yeah.
Especially during your cycle, you're just really learning to listen to your body, listen to your energy, and then take steps that respect that in moving forward.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that.
And before we kind of finish up and get you to do an amazing little meditation, mindful exercise for us, how can people find more about you and get in touch with you? And if they want to book a session with you, where are you at?
So best way to find me is the online business card, Instagram. So you can find me as The Core Health. So all one word, the C-O-R-E, health. Another way to look at, I'm work in an amazing clinic with the most incredible practitioners, and that is Purify Essential Wellness. But if you want to look up more of my offerings, I also run retreats and workshops too. You can go onto my website, which is www.thecorehealth.com. Yeah, and please feel free to send me a message. I love to chat to people. So if you have any questions from today as well, please send me a message and we can organise a chat. But thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you. That was beautiful. And I think that everyone is probably just like dying to book a session with you and find out, so many questions, so many things to try out, and so many little like activities along the way.
Beautiful. But even just to add, and this is what I am and every client session with, is what is one thing you can do for yourself today that tomorrow you'll be thankful for?
Hey guys, Sammy here. I'm going to take you through what's called a RATO mindfulness meditation. This is an active meditation, which means that you can take these tools with you wherever you go without actually having to be seated in a closed eye meditation. It looks at recognizing, allowing and accepting, tuning in and observing certain feelings as they arise without attachment or judgment. Intrinsically, we can attach much meaning and experience to certain feelings, which can inhibit us from actually making change and learning from our feelings by placing them in the good or bad, right or wrong box. So our aim is to remove these meanings and to create a new, more supportive, an open perspective when feelings arise. So wherever you are, I'd just like you to connect back to your breath. You can choose to close down your eyes for this, or just pick a point in the room or outside or wherever you may be to focus on. And then I just want you to come back to that breath flowing in and out the base of your nose. Breathing in for a count of four, pausing for two, and exhaling out for four. Just feeling the seat below you or the ground below you, wherever you may be. And if your awareness or your focus is drifting elsewhere, I just like you to come back to that inherent focus on those inhales and exhales. You're doing well. Breathing in for that count of four. Pausing for two. And out for four. On that next breath, I'd just like you to repeat to yourself in your head, breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. And breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. This is presence. Our thoughts, words, and actions as one. And it might not always be achievable, but there is always a choice to bring you back to. So coming back to the breath and just feeling that air as it enters in cool and then exits out warm without the need to force the breath, but to just focus on those counts as you breathe in for one, two, three, four, pausing for two, one, two, and just naturally letting that exhale occur as it does. Good. From here, I just like you to bring awareness to any feeling that may be present for you. And just choosing to recognize it there without attachment or judgment. You may feel it within the body, maybe some tightness in the chest or in your stomach or in your neck, or maybe in your head. And without overanalyzing this feeling, I just want you to simply recognize it and then guide your breath to creating space in that area. Breathing in for one, two, three, four. And exhaling for one, two, three, four. Good. Next, we focus on just accepting and allowing the feeling to be there. Acceptance of our experiences helps us to make change. But we can't accept what we feel until we understand what we're feeling. Learning to name our emotions for what they are without attachment or judgment helps us to move forward. As when we don't express what we feel, we store it within the body, which can lead us to confusion, overwhelm, and heightened levels of stress by not acknowledging or accepting how we truly feel. So whatever you may be feeling, I want you to repeat to yourself in your head and just name it. Without saying, I am this emotion, I just want you to bring awareness to it by saying, I am aware that I am feeling stressed, overwhelmed, content, rushed, whatever it may be, there is no right or wrong. But learn to just name it and see how that feels for you. And then we just allow that emotion to be there with the breath without having any impact on us. Good. And then with that next breath, we breathe in once more and tune in to the part of the body where it may be radiating from the most. And then we just name for ourselves. Is this emotion present to me now? Do I have the evidence physically in front of me to know that this is occurring right here? Or am I now aware that this emotion is a fabrication from my past or a response to an assumed experience I think will occur in my future? Learn to bring yourself back to what you can see and where you are in this moment. Good. So taking another round of that breath as we breathe in for four. Pause for two. And exhale out for four. And our final step is to learn to just observe our experiences, the world around us, people's words, opinions, and actions. That is which external to us. We don't get to control what is external to us, but we do get to control our responses to our emotions, to our experiences as they arise, and the choices we make to respect ourselves. So just choosing to observe this feeling as if you're watching TV, as if the emotion is external to you. This helps to create space to just allow feelings to come and go, to learn from them, to listen to them. And then ask yourself, what is that simple next step that I need to take to respect this feeling now? Maybe it's to breathe a little bit more. So let's do that. Taking that final round of breath. As you breathe in, repeating to yourself in your head, breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. And breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. So for yourself this week, when those emotions come and go, your first step is to breathe and connect back to yourself. To simply just recognize a feeling without attachment or judgment. To learn to name what you are feeling without trying to make the emotion something it's not. To tune in and give yourself the evidence of whether this emotion is true to you now or a fabrication of your past or your future. And then bringing yourself back by just observing the emotion as something external to you. And with that, your external experiences that come your way. Something will only ever have an impact on us when we choose to take it on as our own or to be responsible for something that is out of our control. So the focus here is to come back to you, your inherent resources, and to be responsible for that next simple step you need to take to respect you. So in your own time and in your own way, taking a couple of deep, connective breaths and coming that little bit more aware of your surroundings. And then when you're ready, just slowly coming back to.
Thank you for joining us in this week's episode on the In Her Flow podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review if you loved this podcast episode.
Even better, share it with a friend or family member who could benefit from this information. Our mission is to normalize period talk and help women to tune in with their cyclical bodies.
See you next week.